Hey, in just a few hours, 2017 is going to be history, and on the brink of 2018. And so what I wanted to do to start was to try to find a 2017 year in review video to show. And I tell you, 2017 has been a challenging year in the news. And so challenging because of the two vibrant things that, man, when you're at the relative's house for dinner on Christmas, two things you don't bring up: religion and politics. And so I'm not a really big fan of either one, to be honest with you. I'm not a real big fan of politics because it causes divisiveness, and religion. I love Jesus, I love God, but I'm not a real big fan of religion. So what did I do? How many of you guys have ever used Google search? Raise your hand if you've ever used Google. Man, like all of us except Doug. I think he's the only one that has never used Google, and probably Rick, because they have Google up here. And so what I did is Google has a year in review on their searches. And so that kind of gives us, it's a little bit softer than offending almost all of you with some of the other ones. And so we're gonna watch this just to give us a little key of what 2017. So that was kind of semi-inspirational. If you saw the last tag on that is how to move forward. 2017, for some of you, was probably the best year you ever had. 2017, for some of you, was probably the hardest year you've ever had. And how do I know that? It's because life is random, life is messy, and we don't know what to expect. We don't know what's coming next. We don't know what to anticipate. But I do know for sure what 2018 will bring. For some of you, it'll be the best year you ever had. For some of you, it'll be the hardest year you've ever had. And we just don't know. We don't know what to expect. And time is like this interesting thing. It's completely linear. It never accelerates. It never deviates. It's like completely linear. Now you think it is accelerating as you get older. It feels like it's accelerating. When you were young, all you could wait for is your next birthday. And when you're old, all you can hope for is you still have a birthday. You know, but you know, Job says that his days are like a breath, and they disappear like smoke from a fire. Smoke from a fire is there, and then it just disappears, and it's just gone. You know, as we age, one of the biggest challenges and biggest rewards of my life was raising kids. And my role as parent has changed now because of the age of my kids. But now it's the next generation, grandparenting. Oh, that is such a thrill, just to spoil them as much as you can and to use this constant term, go ask your mother. Go ask your mother. It's time to go home. But anyway, our roles change as life goes on, but time has a value. You know why time has a value? It's because it's scarce. It's scarce. There's you know how you determine the value of something? I work in a commodity business. And you know what causes prices to go up and down is the amount of product and the demand for it. Now, time, we don't know how much time we have. None of us have any idea how much time we have in it. And it is so valuable because you can't even buy time with money. Did you know that? You know, you can't buy time with money. And so it makes it extremely valuable. You know, the biggest selling aspect of the whole cosmetic business is anti-aging. I won't tell you what I have tried. I've given up. But it's full of scams also, because people are desperate. You are desperate to try to extend your time. And we don't know what our time is. And so if we don't know what our time is, we need to really take control of the time that we do have. Time is a blessing that God gives us, and he's going to ask us for an account of it. He says in Matthew, "But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken." Every careless word. Think back on 2017 and think back of the wasted time that you did with your life. Well, that's kind of depressing. But, you know, the worthless chatter that maybe caused pain and injury to others instead of encouragement and instead of building people up. Would you live 2018 different if you knew you weren't going to see 2019? I think that's a country western song, isn't it? There's a country western song in that I've heard that. But wouldn't you? You would. You would absolutely live 2018 different than you would if you thought that this was, you didn't have another opportunity after that. And so on that note, I kind of use Google again to see what the top 2018 New Year's resolutions are. I'm not a big fan of New Year's resolutions, mainly because I rarely follow through on them, you know. And so I kind of take them as New Year's suggestions. You know, that's kind of what I've done in the past. But it's interesting. So I'm going to take these top five, and I'm going to put a view on them that we look at them through glasses as believers in Jesus Christ, as being part of his kingdom. And so this is a poll for the U.S., and it was polls change all the time. You remember that? This was an election year, right? Polls change all the time. And so, man, you just never know what's going to happen. But a couple of things always are at the very top of the New Year's resolutions. First one, and it's 13% more this year than it was last year. Get healthy. Get healthy. That's like the number one New Year's resolution that people say they want to try doing, is get healthy. Now, a couple different ways you get healthy. One is you have to examine why you're not healthy. You have to examine where you're at today and what you want to change. If you go into a health club and look for a trainer, and don't do it in January, by the way, but there's going to be a long line. But if you go in there, they're going to focus on two aspects: what you eat and how much you burn, what you exercise, what you eat and how much you burn. And so, like, the number one thing in trying to get healthy is eating well. You know, the old saying that you are what you eat is absolutely true. And I try to be an equal opportunity eater and try not to get over in any of the spots that I like. Definitely not any of the ones I don't like. But diet is a huge thing in our physical body. It gives us fuel. It gives us fuel. You cannot go through life without fuel. If you try to go through life without fueling your body, what's going to happen? And you are not going to be able to do the things that you are required to do. You're not going to be able to get on with life and get on with what's going. And I always have to throw this in, you guys. Pastor Dave used Vietnam. I didn't go to Vietnam, so I'll use cycling. Same difference, right? Anyway, and when you exercise, I learned as doing endurance cycling that if I don't eat well, that I'm in worse shape than if I just got off the couch and decided to ride 100 miles, that I will do what is called a bonk. In cycling terms, it's a bonk. It's when your body is just completely done. You have used up everything within you. Everything is done, and you literally cannot go anywhere. And I've come close a couple times early on and got mentored by some friends and got to listen to my body and know that I have to eat when I'm not hungry. And I have to drink when I'm not thirsty. Do you be able to keep up with that? So, what do we do with our spiritual man? How do we fuel our spiritual man? Is it only on Sunday mornings? Do you come in and on Sunday morning and you drink a high-energy drink, and that's going to last you through the week? What do high energy drinks do? Spike and then drop, spike and then drop. Okay, well, what we have to do is fuel our spirit man. And so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Man, you got to be in God's word. You have to be in God's word to be able to fuel yourself. And you know, you may say, I never understand it. I don't know what's going on. I've said all those things out loud and quietly in my mind. But I do know this. The more I read God's word, the more he speaks to me. The more I get into what God has said in his word for encouragement and direction in my life, the more I hear, and it changes. It changes. I can read the same thing over and over and then read it again, and all of a sudden it changes. God's word is alive and it speaks to me depending upon where I am in my walk and what's going on with my life. You know, and so if you aren't fueling your spirit man with fuel, what are you going to do? Your spirit man's going to bonk. Your spirit man's going to bonk, and you are going to be a mess. You aren't going to be able to handle the things that come down the road for you, because we don't know what's ahead of us in 2018. We don't know what kind of opportunities we're going to miss out on being able to minister to family and friends and acquaintances if we aren't in God's word, if we aren't being fed, if we aren't fueling up. We are run out of energy. So if we're putting in God's word, it pushes out the other stuff we take in on a daily basis. We need to be so careful of the images that we let our mind rest on. We have to be so careful of the words that we hear, that they don't sink down deep in. Now, I love listening to music. I love listening to background music. When I do different stuff, I love music. You know why? Music can touch your soul. It strikes down something deep within you. When Saul was messed up and he was in a rage, he would call David to come and minister to him in music. It can either stimulate you, music can, or it can comfort you. Sometimes it can do both at the same time. But we have to be careful on what we're listening to. Have you ever, and I grew up in the 70s, listened to all sorts of stuff. And I go back now, and you can get apps that you know, you can, one of the apps I use, it'll figure out what song it is that's playing, and then you can read the lyrics. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. What I plugged into my brain. What I plugged into my brain. So what are you plugging into your brain these days? Sometimes you just, and I really like a good beat, you know, I really like a good sound to it. I enjoy that. I get at, but you need to be listening to the lyrics that you're putting into your brain. It is scary. It is scary. Some of the stuff that comes on, and so you got to feed that. You got to feed that spirit man with good stuff. If you don't, you're feeding it with the carnal things of the world. And man, it's a battle. You guys know, your mind is a battlefield. That your mind is a battlefield. Now, some things are hard. Some habits are hard to break when it comes to music. Some are really hard to break. I like I said, in the 70s, I see stuff, all the 70 rockers now are, you know, barely hanging on, and don't have a voice anymore, you know, and all that. And I think, man, you need to give it up. But I sure like that music. I can hear a song back in the 70s, and I can remember some things I used to do to that song. You know what I mean? I can remember some things that I used to participate in when I was listening to that. And man, it just floods my memory back with all that stuff again, because it's made that connection into me. Have you not felt God's connection when you worship him? When we just come together on a Sunday morning and we worship him just like we did? That's that music is down touching deep into your spirit. You know, you have that same ability to do that at home. How many of you have a phone in your pocket? A key in your pocket. But anyway, how many of you have a phone? With the electronic age that we have now, you can entertain yourself 24/7, all the time. And you can listen and feed yourself with stuff all the time. It's rarely quiet in my brain. in it, and that's my lack, because I'm usually feeding it with something. So we got to be careful about that fuel. We've got to be careful about what we're putting in there. Don't deceive yourself on what you're listening to and think that it's not affecting you. I'm telling you, from experience, it is. It is. James 1, 22 through 24 says, 1 James, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. So what's the other half of getting healthy? Exercise. Exercise. You got to be able to put those things from God's word into your life and use them and to participate in them. Encourage people. Love people. Pray for people. Help people. Help your family. Encourage them. Encourage them. Encourage them. Be a part of their lives, even when it is uncomfortable. And you know what? When you do the uncomfortable things in your life, it strengthens that muscle. That's exercise. That's exercise. When you exercise physically, if you're not getting uncomfortable, you're not gaining. You're not gaining anything if you're not getting uncomfortable. And so don't be so self-centered and always be praying just for yourself. Step out of your life. Pray for others. Be a part of people's life and lift them up. What that does is a couple things. One, it strengthens that muscle that we're talking about, that exercise in your spirit, man. It also helps you take the focus off of the problems that you're going through. It helps you focus into other things that are happening and that, you know, I do that, and then it's like, man, what I'm going through is nothing. What I'm going through is nothing. And then I rewind that video in my brain and think back to the way God has carried me through some other really hard times in my life and think, you know what? God did it then. There's no reason God's not going to do it now. That's faith, and that's trust. And so you got to exercise that. You got to exercise that muscle. You got to get out and get in. Just again, just like coming in here on Sunday mornings, is that the only time you're getting fed? If this is the only time you're praying is on a Sunday morning when you will join or acknowledge with one of us praying up here, or maybe you spend 10 minutes in the prayer room before pre-service, you know, pre-service prayer, or do, if that's the only time you're exercising that spiritual muscle, you're going to get flabby and weak. You're going to get out of shape, and you're not going to have that heavy muscle lifting ability when you need it, because we're all going to need it at some point in our life, aren't we? Every once in a while, a really heavy load comes along that you have to lift up and carry. And if you're not exercised to that point, if you're not to that point where you can do that, you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer, and you're not going to be able to accomplish what God has in store for you. What happens to our physical body when we don't eat right and we don't ever exercise? What happens to it? Oh, kind of fails and kind of goes to pieces, does it not? And it'll shorten our life. It'll shorten our physical life. We'll have more aches and pains than you can shake a stick at because you haven't done things to take care of you. It's the same way with your spiritual man. It's the same thing exercise body that you have inside of you to exercise your spirit, man. If all you do is sit back and do the easy stuff, you're not going to be strong. You're not going to have the endurance to go through the hard things. Sometimes hard things last for a long season. Sometimes it's not just a little sprint. Sometimes it's not just a little 100-yard dash or 200-yard dash or the 400. Sometimes it's the marathon, and it seems like it goes on and on and on. And you have to be prepared for it. You can't just, Shelly, you just couldn't get up off the couch tomorrow and run a marathon, right? Well, you probably could. Brian, you couldn't get up off the couch. No, I couldn't get up the couch and run a marathon tomorrow. You have to train for it. You have to be ready for it, because sometimes the hard things in life go along for a long time, will happen for a long time. This is like the total wrong thing to do in the middle of a thing. I just caught the eye of a youth, and it just reminded me of something. I have the privilege of being, my son is the youth director. I have the privilege of ending 2017, of getting up yesterday morning early, 5:30, go upstairs to get a cup of coffee, look out the window, and there's toilet paper hanging everywhere outside our house. Now, I had been warned that was going to happen. But, you know, they warned me a long time ago and actually asked permission. They had an overnighter and asked permission if the youth could come toilet paper our house. Now, naturally, what was one of the rules that I put down was, yeah, as long as you clean it up, you know, that'd be okay. I still have toilet paper on my roof, son. That's on you. All right. And thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Sarah, for coming over and cleaning up. And anyway, I just caught a couple of these guys grinning back here. And you thought you got away with it, right? I'm watching you. I'm watching you all. I'm watching you all. And so, anyway, I don't know why I went off down that rabbit trail. Probably just wasted everything I just built up on that one. But doing the hard stuff. There were some adults that staying up 24 hours through the night without sleep with a bunch of middle school and teenage, that's hard stuff. I couldn't do it. I barely get up in the morning and go to work, you know. So you got to get ready for the hard stuff. Get ready for the hard stuff. All right. The second thing in that list of New Year's resolutions was get organized. And it's interesting. That's down 7% from last year because they couldn't get organized enough to remember where they put it last year. But get organized. But get organized. You know, Ecclesiastes says there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. So get organized. How do we relate that with our spirit, man? What is the number one reason that you excuse that you come up with for not reading the Bible and not praying and not meditating on God's word? I know what mine has always been. I don't have the time. I don't have the time. And you know what? I've never said, darn, if I just would have had that 30 minutes back this morning that I spent in prayer before I started today, my day would have been a lot better. I have never said that. I have said, oh, I'm sure should have used that 30 minutes this morning because I really need it later on today. And so organization helps us to create time and space in our life to study God's word. And so get organized with your life to be able to the point where you can't reuse the excuse, I have no time. I have no time to study God's word. Let me give you some facts on how we in the United States waste our time. Wasted some time doing this. So anyway, waste our time. The average person in the U.S. watches 5 hours a day of TV. 5 hours a day. I won't tell you where I fall in that. I think I'm a little bit below average. But 5 hours a day. Bah, I can't spend 10 minutes in prayer this morning. I can't spend 10 minutes reading God's word before I start. Now, the average person in the U.S. is on their phone 5 hours a day. 5 hours a day. Now, I like to multitask, watch TV and be on my phone at the same time, so I try to cut that thing down a little bit. But on your phone, 5 hours a day. The average person in the U.S. is on social media 2 hours a day. 2 hours a day. You ever heard of Facebook? Yeah. Yeah. In the third quarter, which means a total of 4 months of 2017, worldwide, over 2.07 billion people logged on to Facebook in the last 30 days. Did you catch that number? 2 billion worldwide logged on. Interesting. No wonder they have all those ads all over it. The average person has 338 friends on Facebook. You know what that means is, the more friends you have, the fuller your feed is, the longer it takes you to get through everything, because you just may miss something. You may miss somebody's plate of food that you were just not going to be able to live without, you know. There's 15% of Facebook users' top 500 friends. 500 friends. Now, do you think they have a close, intimate relationship with those 500 people? No, not whatsoever. Not whatsoever. So let's make some margin in our life for time with God. Let's make some margin for us to be able to connect with God, to be able to find time to to feed your spirit man, to listen to what God's speaking to you, to get into his word and understand what he's saying, and be able to have margin in your life, not only for God, but for others. If you're so busy that you don't have time to be a part of a ministry that helps kids, if you don't have an opportunity and the time to, because you're so busy that you don't have that, I can't go help somebody move. I can't go help somebody. I just don't have time. I've got 500 friends on Facebook, and I'm going to miss something. You know, I can drive. I can drive and won't look at Facebook at the same time. You know, I mean, I'll find some way to be able to waste more time. But you have to be able to find that margin in your life for some time where you can be a part of other people's lives. And I don't know about you, but I can find stuff to fill up my time really, really easy. Most of the time, it's selfish stuff that Mike wants. It's selfish things that Mike wants, and all that does is just feed that selfishness. And you know what? That never ends. You know why? Self-centeredness never, never ends. It is never content. It is never happy. That self-centeredness, that selfishness, the more you feed it, the bigger and bigger it gets. There is never an end to it. There's never an end to it. You just can't do it. You just can't do it. And that kind of slides into, and I put 3 and 4 together because I think I can kind of put them together. It's 3 is live life to the fullest. That's a 13% uptick. Learn new hobbies, which is a 4% uptick. How do you live life to the fullest? I mean, that sounds like a t-shirt. You could put that on your t-shirt. Live life to the fullest. You know what that sounds to me like? People are unhappy as they don't have a purpose in their life. They're unhappy with what's driving them. They're unhappy with the things that are going on, and they want to change. I want to live life to the fullest because I've been on Facebook, and I've been seeing in Instagram and pictures of everybody else doing all that fun stuff, had the perfect family with the perfect pictures. You know, there really is no such thing, you know. We ought to have an anti-Instagram and have all the ugly pictures of your family right next to the good ones and get a little balance in your life. But so we're never content. We don't have a purpose. Jesus says, what is asked to him, what's the best thing I can do? What's the best thing I can do, God? Jesus is asked. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbors as yourself. Love your neighbors as yourself. So, love God, love your neighbors. Love God, love your neighbors. Sometimes it's hard to love your neighbors. Now, my physical neighbors, no problem. Other neighbors that I come into contact, sometimes it can be hard. But you know what happens? I see people that get that out of order. He doesn't say love people and then love God. I've seen people that know people that just love people. You know, love people, love being around them, but don't know God. Don't have any idea, and that's an unbalance in their life. And you know what? I'm sorry to tell you, but they're not going to end up for eternity where they want to go just by loving people. When you put that in the right direction of loving God, it gives you a love for people. It helps you overcome your selfishness. It helps you overcome that part of wanting to just be me and just wanting just to do everything that I want to do. Because when you're fulfilling your purpose in loving God, it opens up your heart for the second part of that and to love people. And so, man, that's the most important thing that Jesus said to do. The most important thing. And so, you know what? It's great to have hobbies, it's great to do all that, but if you're doing it only with the motivation of pleasing me, it's not going to be near as fulfilling if you have a new hobby and you use it to be friends to other people and to influence other people in their lives just by being there for them, just by being a part of their life. In the hobby that I took up in the 40s, I've made some, when I was 40, not in the 40s, I'm not that old, when I was 40 cycling, I have made some of the best friends I have around. I've been a part, have walked through them with some hard things, they've walked through me with some hard things, and have become really, really good friends, people that I would never have met if I hadn't stepped out and done something not just for me and to let God use you. And so think about that. Think about that when you think about a new hobby. And you think about a new hobby and you think, what can I do? I just don't have purpose. I'm not content. Well, this is what Paul says about contentment in Philippians 4. He says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Have you ever thought that I will only be happy if I can get to this point in my life? And maybe you're thinking about that in 2018. Maybe you're thinking, all right, I'm going to be able to get to this point. 2017 was rotten. I felt like blah. I didn't accomplish anything, but 2018, I'm going to get to this spot, and this is what I'm going to do. Well, I tell you what, unless you put it into the sequence of love God first, you're going to be disappointed over here because you're not fulfilling the purpose that you were created for, and that's to love God. And so there's nothing wrong with hobbies. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be more engaged than sitting in front of your TV and helping that five-hour average go up. Because you know what an average is? There's a lot of people to do more. So if you're just raising that average in the United States, it's all right to get a hobby. Just have it be one that you can be motivated into being a part of other people's life. And I tell you what, that's where contentment comes from. That's where contentment comes from. Paul says, I found contentment whether I have a lot or whether I have hardly anything. Able to find contentment is when you're serving God and being a part of people's lives. All right, the last one, as I'm running out of time, and oh gosh, you know, it's like the most important subject because the Bible speaks more about this particular subject than anything else, but not as much from the pulpit. Not as much from the pulpit because it's a little bit tricky. The number five was spend less and save more. And that's a 17% uptick from last year. Spend less and save more. Money. You're talking about money. And let me tell you, 1 Timothy 6 is so right on. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Pierced themselves with many griefs. So what do you do? To be able to satisfy that lack of I don't have purpose in my life, you try to medicate it with things. You try to add so much stuff to your life, so much stuff to your life that you're bound by debt, that you don't have margin to help people when somebody needs help, that you are so strapped financially that it causes tension in your family. Do you know what the number one cause of divorce in the United States is? The number one is money fights and money problems. That's the number one cause for divorce. So you think if it was the number one, we would look at that pretty heavy. You would think about it pretty heavy, you know. So it's the number one thing. So we selfishly consume so many things that we have no margin in our life to help others. If the only margin you have in your life to help others is to clean out your closet and take old clothes and broken toys down to Goodwill to get organized, that was number two, that you don't have enough margin in your life, in your money. So what does God say to do with your money? If it's such an important part of it, well, it's pretty simple. Serve God first. Serve God first. Maybe 2018 is that you've thought about it. God has spoken to you. You've heard that little voice in the side of your head say, you need to be tithing. You need to be tithing. My money is a mess. I can't tithe. I don't have enough money to tithe. Well, that's just not right. That's just not true. It really isn't. It really isn't. Because we can do so much more with the 90% that God blesses us with than we can with the 100% that we keep for ourselves. If you want some real in-depth testimony about tithing, you can ask me, and I'll tell you, it's really simple. I have no idea how Teresa and I have done it over the years. I have no idea. The tithing part was installed in us at an early age. It was never a thought process when we first got married. We started doing it from then, and I look back now and think about some of the things that God has brought us through financially, and I cannot explain it. I cannot explain it. And by my human brain, my heart says it's only by God's grace. It's only by God's grace. And so if you're waiting on an opportunity, if you're waiting on a time, man, start 2018 off the right way. On that note, there is a giving box in the back. This happens to be the last Sunday in 2017 that you can give and have it be a part of 2017's taxes, because who knows what next year could bring. That could all change, right? That could all change. Everything could happen. So don't just selfishly consume everything that you have that you so that you cannot invest in other people. And you know what? That might be hard. Sometimes it's hard to fight down that selfish individual, Mike. It really is. But I'm telling you what, man, what God can do with $5 in Uganda is pretty amazing. When $5 will get you a cream frappa whippo and 2,000 calories and be gone in 20 minutes after you spilled half of it, you know. But, I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing what our $5 can do in another country, to bless people, to help them feed them and help them understand God's love for each other. I'm going to have Jake come on up, and he's going to lead us in a song. Jason and the worship team. Sorry, I failed to say that. Jason and the worship team. But I want, while we're singing this song, I want you to be sensitive to what God's speaking to you. If there's something in 2017 that he wants you to change in 2018. If there's something that you want to leave behind in 2017, today is the day. Today is the day. Tomorrow's going to be 2018. If there's something you want to do. Let's go ahead and stand up. Let's go ahead and stand up and get off. I'm going to ask everybody just close your eyes and bow your heads. And take just a second and let God speak to you. Listen for that nudge of the Holy Spirit. If there's something in 2017 that God's been speaking to you not to bring in 2018, I want you to just lift your hand up real slight, real quick. If God's speaking to you, thank you, Lord. I'm not going to embarrass you. If you want 2018 to be different than 2017, if you want to leave things of the carnal man in 2017, now's the time. Don't wait. Don't wait. You don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. You don't know what 2018 holds. Time has a value, and it is scarce. Father God, I just pray that you would continue, God, to speak to us this morning. Lord God, for all of those that raise their hands, Lord God, I pray that you would just continue by your Holy Spirit, God, just to nudge them, God, just to continue to push, Lord God. Push us, Lord God, to where we will succumb to our knees, Lord God, and that we would have change in our life, that we would be better to be able to love you and to love others. Have that be our New Year's resolution for 2018. We would be better lovers of God and better lovers of people and not ourselves. God, for each and every one, where all these things that you've brought to their mind are all different, everything that's going on in their life, Lord God, I pray that you would give them courage and strength and inspiration, God, to carry through. To carry through, Lord God. Help them to get themselves organized to be able to do it, God. Help them get themselves fueled, God, to be able to run the race of 2018. God, give them vision, God, for margin in their life to help others. God, give them vision, Lord God. And Father, we just thank you, God, and we just pray for tonight, Lord God, as we celebrate with family and friends and around the world, as people are looking for something, Lord God, or looking for companionship, or looking for love, God, may we be able to fill in that gap, God, with your love and your grace and your forgiveness, Lord God. Help us be a changed people in 2018. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Hey,